A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J Jeff here.
And this is Rick Swan.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
I'm Rocky Cinco Romero.
David Starr.
Support WrestleTalk.
You are watching WrestleTalk.
Congratulations, you got here. Now, subscribe and
support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk and please subscribe now.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support
Luke.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Because we talk about wrestling, and I like it.
Support WrestleTalk.
Go subscribe.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is, and whoever Luke Owen is, both the Ravens. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm El Fagador Laurie Blake, and I am joined, really, rather excitingly, by SoCal Val.
Woo!
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Why am I more nervous for this part than I am the on-camera stuff?
Like,
I don't know.
The on-camera bit, so we've actually...
Yeah.
This is a fake-out. We're now just doing a second round of talking.
El fake-out.
We had a little date last night.
We did indeed, yes.
We went to see Le Mans 66, or Ford versus Ferrari, as it's called in America. Uh-huh. And you can hear our review of that over on Screen Stalker. We might put it out as a podcast special as well, but check out the YouTube video, which is should be up by the time this goes out.
It was so good.
Any luck. I actually really enjoyed the film.
Yeah. We had talked about it before that you and I are not super, super into racing, but it's just a movie that's, like you said, it's a blockbuster. Like, it's just, you have to see it. I think with a movie that has that much money behind it and names like Matt Damon and Christian Bale, like, you're not going to go wrong.
Yeah.
You're just not.
I love the car scenes are so good in it.
Yeah.
Like, I was really like, oh, I can't even drive.
I literally.
Like, God, I wish I could do anything like
that. Yeah. Do you not drive? See, I don't drive here in the UK yet. I drive back home. Yeah. And I'm a very nervous driver. So, me of all people, seeing all these crashes and crazy things was a little scary. I literally was like biting my nail. I don't even do that in some of those car scenes. That's how exciting they were.
Mm.
Yeah. It got a little scary there for a little hairy.
Mm.
Hairy, scary.
What would be your dream car?
Ooh. Well,
funny. I think you can tell a lot about a person.
Well, wrestling story involved kind of there. So my first car, I think my mom probably either bought, or, you know, like, your parents usually help you with that kind of thing. But the second one I bought was like my car. Like, I paid it off. It was like my very special car. And it was a blue convertible, which I don't really like blue, but I was like, eh, whatever. So it looked like a Barbie car. It may or may not have had a SoCal Val license plate. And I remember I picked up Jay Lethal and Sanjay from the airport once, and I bought these leather pants and I wore them, plus I had my new car. And I picked them up and I'll never forget their faces. They were like, did you win the lottery? Like, what is this? You're wearing leather pants and you have a convertible. Who are you? It was so funny. And funnily enough, I was talking to Jay Lethal not that long ago, and he was looking for a car, and he was like, well, I can buy your car. Maybe I'll just buy your old car. And I was like, do you want to drive around town with the SoCal Val license plate? And he was like, I'd be okay with that. I was like, really? Yeah. So my first car was a big deal. It was like, you know, it's your baby. It's you pay off. Over here, I'm going to be real honest with you, just because it's only you and I talking, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone else is going to keep this secret. All the cars look very small to me over here because I'm used to American big cars.
So, I find them terrifying when I've been to America, the size of your car.
Yeah. The convertible was like, it's like a boat. It's way too long.
It's a boat.
Yeah. It looks like a damn boat. And
here's my spaceship.
Yeah. It was too bulky. But over here, I think they're kind of cuter because they're a little more compact. everything's kind of different. Like even like Coke bottles are like they're taller as opposed to being fatter.
Yeah.
Because they can fit in refrigerators. Everything's kind of built up here as opposed to out. Does that make sense for space?
Sort of, yeah. I guess so.
I started noticing this when I moved over here. Anywho, so over here, I've never had an SUV. I think maybe like that's a very nice, classy 30-year-old lady's car. I mean, I'm 33.
Like a Land Rover.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really care about brands. I like when they have the big logos. You can tell it's an expensive car because I'm pretentious in that way.
Yeah, you could just get one of these like trophies that we've got. These little yeah. You could stick that to the front.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah, I'll put a WrestleMania
logo. And you can put your own face
logo.
In it, so you can not only have a SoCalVal license Perfect. Plate, you could have a SoCalVal like emblem.
Yeah. There's certain cars I see.
Have you ever thought about starting your own car company like Ferrari did?
Oh, no. Hell no.
Or like Shelby.
Now, having my own wine, that's on the bucket list.
Oh, yeah?
Because I might not know about cars or like certain things, certain sports. My wine? I know my wine. Wine would be a cool, like, just sort of a bucket list thing you'd want to make one day. Because even some of the wrestlers are now doing it. Like, Cody Rhodes has his own wine.
Does he?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Even Picard, Patrick Stewart has his own wine.
Cody Rhodes.
It should be. Yeah. That's adorable. But yeah, for a car over here, I'd have to really look because it just has to be something cute, girly, nothing too sporty, nothing too low.
Yeah.
Girls hate low cars. Boys always go, oh, I got this cool car, and I'm going to pick a girl up in it. And I'm like, well, she's going to be in a skirt, and she's going to hate it. So any men that are out there thinking that they want to buy these cool sports cars.
Think about if you were a celebrity and if the Daily Mail were going to be waiting for you to turn up to an event.
Oh, my God. Oh, something ridiculous? Oh, the Cruella de Vil car, the Rolls Royce, right?
Mm.
Yeah, the black and white.
So I've always just wanted a Mini.
A little Mini?
I don't know. It's just always been in my head. I just really want a Mini.
I know a wrestler that has a Mini, and I will tell you later who this is.
But okay.
You do not think they would ever have a Mini.
I want to get to that as quickly as possible.
No.
It's not Samoa Joe.
That would be way cute. Yeah.
Well, I need to find that out, that information, as quick as possible. So let's get into the main portion of the show, where we're talking about whether or not Jeff Hardy is done with WWE and some general updates on his status there. Here's the show. First, we're going to discuss the talking point of the day, which is a bit of news related to Jeff Hardy's contract and general personal life and how that affects his role within WWE. Because there's been some news from Fightful Select that we'll get into. And I think it's an interesting question to talk about because, for one, they've not been using Matt Hardy in WWE while Jeff has been out injured and recovering from knee surgery.
Mm.
And Matt's contract is coming up in March next year, as far as we know. So if he leaves WWE, Jeff is on an extension because he's been injured.
Yes.
And they could freeze his contract now because of things we'll get into in a second.
Mm-hmm.
So will they use Jeff Hardy without Matt Hardy? More likely to, I think.
I think they would use Jeff Hardy without Matt Hardy, and I think they work beautifully separately and together. But it is interesting that if Matt Hardy's contract is up, the thing is, this is 2019, y'all. You know, it's not like 98 or 2003. Well, I guess I don't know what those are. I'm using random years, let's be honest. But the point is, it's 2019. And if you're not with the WWE, guess what? There's a whole plethora of options you could go to. We could see them on AEW. We could see them on NWA Power. However, with three R's, that would be phenomenal to see Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy in like retrograde. Oh my God. Would be amazing. But the point is, if they're not going to be with WWE, there's all kinds of places they could go.
Absolutely.
They can come to my house, we can hang out, watch old wrestling tape, and they can show me some moves.
Some sweet. That one. That's my favorite one.
Yeah.
So, it's been a pretty like turbulent year for Jeff overall. He's been out injured with a knee injury. He had surgery back in May. There was an angle where they were the tag champions. Lars Sullivan attacked. They had to relinquish the titles. Jeff then went away and had surgery. He's then had multiple run-ins with the law. He's currently scheduled to have a court date in December for a DUI.
Isn't it so creepy that everyone knows this information? How weird, right?
I know. It's almost as if there's whole YouTube channels dedicated to this.
It's amazing.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But then news came out, according to Fightful Select, that despite being expected back in November from recovering from his knee surgery, Jeff Hardy is not listed for a return as he's taking care of his personal issues. So that means that WWE currently, as it stands, they have no plans for Jeff Hardy going forward.
which is a huge mistake. Yeah. Huge. It's like Pretty Woman. Big mistake. Huge. Good luck trying to get on without Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy is the most charismatic superstar of all time. Jeff Hardy can do no wrong in the eyes of the wrestling fans, including myself. You're just, I mean, you might as well, everyone should just pack up and go home. You're done. Goodbye.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's kind of sad news to say there's no plans for him currently. But it's a good thing in the sense that if he needs to be away dealing with personal issues.
Right, and maybe he does need some time. You know, like we said about that magical thing called the internet, every misstep is just totally blown out of proportion and people just make these assumptions about whatever they see.
Personally attacked.
Right! But they do, you know, and the thing is, and that's how it is with every sort of celebrity, you know, somebody gets pulled over or something happens in a fight or whatever, and it's just public knowledge. And not only that, but people expound upon that little bit of information and just assume that, oh, someone's gone off the rails and it's crazy. We don't know what's going on. We do know that there's some issues that have happened. And like you said, maybe he needs to take the time to get those issues sorted. Maybe, you know, it's all legal stuff. And for that reason, he probably doesn't even want to be around WWE at that time. He needs to sort his own stuff out. And, you know, kudos to him for doing that. So I think WWE has been very understanding with all of their superstars having different issues here and there. And I will say with that, they've always been really cool and understanding and giving people second, third, fourth chances. So for that reason, maybe he does need to take some time. But if there's no plans and they don't think there's going to be any plans in the future, again, good luck. Because, like I said, there's nobody like Jeff Hardy.
Echo. Oh.
Oh.
Thanks for bearing with us,
Who's
guys.
Who's Echo? Is he a new independent wrestler?
No.
Does Creative have anything for him?
Echo's a new character in Overwatch.
Oh.
So I think the only thing with like Jeff taking a bit of time out to deal with these personal issues is that like he already had a slight contract extension because of his injury.
Yes.
Matt didn't get a contract extension because they can't extend his contract because he's not injured. They've just chosen not to use him on the screen or in the ring. So Matt, apparently, his contract is up in March. So before even WrestleMania 36, Matt could be gone from WWE.
Yeah,
Matt's
crazy.
Been teasing a return to the broken Matt Hardy gimmick on these Free the Delete videos he's doing where he's like training his kids as like the baby Hardy boys.
Yeah.
And it's quite fun, but he was like doing a whole thing where he's looking in the mirror and he's seeing broken Matt Hardy looking back at him. And it's definitely broken Matt Hardy and not woken Matt Hardy, the WWE version.
Which is quite the difference because he can't be the broken Matt Hardy.
Well, as far as we know, unless WWE have thawed on the idea of like, you can do your own gimmick within WWE.
That doesn't sound correct.
It doesn't sound like a thing.
Sounds like a big global brand would go, no, we don't own that, so bye-bye.
But that means that Matt could be out in March.
Yep.
Jeff, we don't know how long he's going to be out. Like, you imagine it's at least until the court stuff is settled.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he comes back in December. Maybe he doesn't come back for a while because they, you know, maybe it's not just dealing with the personal issues of we've got to deal with the DUI and the court date. We've got to deal with actually getting you, like, cleaned up or whatever it is that needs to happen.
And again, we don't know.
We don't know. But, like, if that all goes ahead and Matt leaves, Jeff definitely is much more of a single star. But are they going to use Jeff in a singles capacity, and is he going to want to work in a company without Matt?
I think he would. I mean, I think Jeff Hardy as a singles wrestler is fantastic. And like I said, he just has such longevity in the business. He has such respect from everybody. But you have to think about, I always kind of think about now having been in it for a day or two, I always think, hey, if I were them, what would I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. All of these guys, to put it very bluntly, they're not going to these different promotions because they need any sort of paycheck. They're going to these promotions because maybe they have unfinished business. They never had a singles run like they wanted to. There's certain titles they want to get. They think it's going to be good for their career. They're all businessmen. But there's also this side that goes, what would be the most fun? What's going to work for my family?
Mm-hmm.
The Hardy Boys are very close with Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Jericho, who is an AE dub. So you got to wonder if it's like, hey, what a cool time to go hang out with their buddy Jericho and start something totally new and have a new clean slate. I think that all of them have a very good relationship with WWE where it wouldn't be like, oh, they did it to spite them. Maybe they want something new and fresh. And nothing's newer and fresher right now than AEW.
Oh, and think of all the matches they could have in AEW, like against the Young Bucks and the Lucha
they've never
Bros
had.
LAX. Like, that'd be so amazing.
And maybe as a wrestler, like I said, unfinished business, there's certain things that they haven't done in their careers. I think there's probably a big safety net feeling of being with WWE. That's where they came from. That's home for them in some ways. But, you know, when they had long careers with Impact Wrestling, they got to wrestle people they never had in the past. And it was sort of seeing a different side to them. So maybe they want to see what that AEW side feels like. Or they want to don a little retro outfit and go on NWA Power and mix it up with guys like Eli Drake and Nick Aldis. That would be amazing, too. That would
be a very different style of Hardy Boys.
Yeah.
Because obviously they weren't even, like, they obviously Attitude Era wrestlers.
Yeah.
So
They were way past
the kind of the 70s, 80s vibe that Power was going for. I'd like to see some more.
It'd be cool.
Like less fitting wrestlers for the NWA Power style.
Right.
Like, go in there and see what they become over there.
Yeah. Because you don't want it to be only about the retro style. That's kind of what I think is gaining everyone's attention right now. Like, I've seen some of these clips and promos, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this just looks so different than what anyone else is doing. But like you said, they wouldn't exactly fit into that retro vibe, but maybe that would be a cool way to shake it up.
Mm. So I've got to the Hardys. I'm pretty sure, like Matt said a while ago, that he wanted to kind of finish out his career in WWE, and they moved him back into sort of the backstage role. And then there was talk about, and then they came back and did in-ring stuff and were tag champions again, and then went away again. And then now it kind of all seems up in the air as to whether Matt's going to wrestle again. But it feels like the broken stuff on his YouTube channel is at least teasing. I mean, he's in the ring.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that's like, I'm going to come back and be a wrestler again, or whether that is him sort of just having fun in his spare. Like, he's got a lot of time off because he's not really doing anything.
He's got the whole compound, the Hardy compound to play with. It's like having your own film studio. That's what they've turned it into. And there's nothing more quintessential Matt Hardy than having the fans go, will he or won't he? Is he going to wrestle? Is he not going to wrestle? He's always, from before when social media wasn't even a thing, the Hardys have always been amazing about having websites. Actually, one of my best friends, weirdly enough, when I started to watch wrestling, made some of the earliest Hardy fan fiction kind of, well, not fan fiction, but fan sites for
and
the Hardy
became
Boys.
The Twilight Saga.
Yeah, it did. Are you Team Jacob? Are you Team Matt? Are you Team Jeff? Yeah. So they've been great into social media, and Matt's especially loves kind of teasing and pulling the fans in different directions. And I think he's probably doing that purposely. He's kind of wanting people to wonder, where will I end up? Mm. And to be honest, all he's doing is making all the promotions wonder what he's doing as well. And that kind of makes him a hot commodity. Is WWE going to get him? Is AEW going to get him? All I know is we just hope the Hardy Boys, both of them separately and or together, are going to be on screens where we can see them do what they do best.
What's your favorite era of Jeff Hardy? What's your favorite?
All of them!
As the biggest fan.
Oh my God.
What's your like standout memory?
You know what? I have a VHS tape of Hunter Bear. I loved Triple H as a kid. I say kid, I was like 12. And Jeff losing, no, I think Triple H lost the IC title to Jeff. And I remember that being a really, really big match. I remember when Jeff and Matt were kind of breaking up, and you know, they had the girls pulling them in different directions. They had the invasion angle. That was, oh my God. Talk about Val's favorite stuff. The invasion angle when he was with, Jeff Hardy was with Trish, and then Matt was with Lita, and then those two harlots, Stacy Keibler and Tori Wilson, in their Victoria's Secret robes, started flirting with the boys backstage, and then it became a two-on-two catfight for WrestleMania. That is why I love professional wrestling, because it's stuff like that. There's a love storyline, there's romance involved, there's catfights, there's, oh, he took my man, and yeah.
And they're doing a lot less of that now.
I know! So everyone's serious. Oh, I'm a female wrestler, and I'm so serious.
Are you on the Bobby Lashley train with Lana and Rusev?
I almost posted something about that, because I was like, what are they doing? What is this? And Lana's lovely. I've met her a few times. Bobby Lash, buddy of mine, he is lovely. But I thought, what are they doing? And then I was almost going to post something a little salty, like, what is this? And then I remembered a certain storyline with myself and Sanjay Dutt in a bed, and I almost posted the photo of them in bed, and then me and Sanjay in bed, and I thought, before you start throwing stones, they're about
kids in glass houses,
or bedrooms
in glass beds,
with naked men. So, girl, get yours. Have fun. Be safe. Champagne helps.
I mean, at least it's brought it back to the TV.
You're
having to go to Real Housewives and all the things you were talking about.
And that's what I still watch, is I love the intrigue. And when I was watching wrestling, I loved the Triple H, Kurt Angle, Stephanie McMahon storyline, the love triangle. And I could not believe, I was so lucky later.
Kurt was so funny.
Oh my God, amazing. And whatever happened in that hotel room? Mm-hmm. What was the number? Somebody in the chat would know. I never asked Kurt that. I wanted to ask him. I never had the courage to say, so what really happened in that hotel room, Mr. Angle? And then remember, Trish got involved. I loved the soap opera aspect of it. And to be honest, that's what's really lacking these days. Mm. And I wish that there were more storylines like that.
Mm.
It got me going. I'm telling you, girls that are young, they don't think they're going to like wrestling. Their brothers watch it, blah, blah. That's what'll get them. You know why? How I know that? Because validation. People love Total Divas.
Validation.
Validation. According to my calculations, yeah. People are loving wrestling because of Total Divas. Women are loving it because of Total Divas. And that's what's getting the female audience involved, is because there is a little bit of cattiness between the women and who's dating who and things like that.
It's weird that those storylines don't play out on screen, I guess. We've gotten completely off the Jeff
we
Hardy
have,
topic. We are
but
so
you're,
far away
but you're
from
right.
Jeff Hardy and
it's
his
very removed.
Actual dramas.
Yeah, that's a soap opera in itself.
Yeah, well, that's
he always keeps us excited.
That's what's keeping us in there. The Wrestle Talk crew being like, what's happening with Jeff in real life?
Have you heard about Jeff?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Now it's Ooh. Time for some crap gimmicks.
Crap?
Do you know the point of crap gimmicks, Val?
You've explained it a bit, but I'd like a rundown.
For those who don't know what crap gimmicks is, crap gimmicks is a special roster within WrestleTalk. It's our own promotion in which we, the SWAF Nation, send in their own submissions for wrestlers and gimmicks and movesets. And the idea is
the sillier the better,
be as bad as possible. And then we get to decide whether we sign them to the crap gimmick roster.
Okay.
I think this is something that the Patreons can do.
Ooh, hi to our Patreons, by the way.
So I don't know whether these are the ones Chopper was talking earlier about. Okay. Ollie tried to do this show 2 weeks ago or last week with Matt Taven and Dalton Castle.
Oh my God, I love Dalton Castle.
Who are lovely men, but they derailed the show, to say the least.
That sounds about right.
And dismissed most of the crap gimmicks out of hand. Mm. And then I think they signed the person who'd written one. So we now have, our crap gimmick roster now just has a regular person in it.
Just a civ, like, civilian?
Yeah, just a civvy, yeah.
Yeah, that's a Jinder Mahal reference. If you're watching, Jinder, hi. That one's for you. A civ.
So this one is from Chancellor Moore. He says, hello, Luke, Chopper, Ollie, Randy, and El Fagador. And I'm going to add SoCal Val in there. Chopper, the morning to you. Long-time listener, and when I can afford it, I will become a pledge hammer. My Yay. Submission for CG Dub is Chance the Closer, the rave version of The Fiend. Maybe it might be closer than closer.
Oh.
Chance is a struggling EDM SoundCloud DJ who will do whatever it takes to make an impact and close the show. It is the closer. Mm. He chooses his targets based on their social media following and attacks them in order to boost his own follow count. Whoever he thinks the crowd would like him to attack more, he goes after. When two wrestlers are in the ring, the lights suddenly begin to shut down, a la The Fiend. Once the arena is pitch black, you hear the build of a song and lasers begin to bathe the audience. Then right at the apex of the music, colourful rave-like lights focus on Chance in the middle of the ring with his victim in position for him to perform his finisher, Drop the Bass, a facebuster powerbomb.
Ooh!
Which is kind of like a last ride mixed with an X Factor, is the description we've been given. Mm. As Chance's popularity grows, so does his following. He slowly turns other wrestlers to the rave lifestyle and becomes the leader of a faction dubbed the Music Mafia, who are all constantly posting on Instagram and Twitter in an attempt to build their following and sell their music slash merch. His other finishes include Ride the Rail, The Undertaker's old school but with an added headbutt, and the Candy Flip, a top rope moonsault. I'm assuming these are EDM references that I don't
Candy
get.
Flip, yeah.
Thank you for all that you do. Your content keeps me sane, and you are all constant inspirations for people making money by doing what they love. Hashtag impeach Vince. Hashtag fix the fiend.
Wow. Mm. That's very well written. There's a chance this could work.
Yeah? What's your what would you do for an EDM musician gimmick?
I don't know.
No?
I just love that he called it the Candy Flip. Again, I think that's a reference that we're not really totally getting. Why the Undertaker old school move with the headbutt? That's super random.
So much of it seems inspired by the Undertaker. It's
yeah.
Like, it's the rave.
It's the Undertaker.
It's meant to be Allah the Fiend, but it's all rave Undertaker based stuff.
What if he's been the Undertaker the whole time?
What if he has?
You never know. Swerve. I like it. I love that
American
he,
Bass ass.
Bad bass. Yeah. I got where you were going with there.
Yeah.
I like how well written it was. I like the lasers bathing the audience. I think the entrance is cool.
Yeah,
I love
really,
the drop the bass.
I can really picture that. It's like.
No, I can, legit. It's very cool. Because some wrestlers have kind of done like a musical sort of thing, and it hasn't really ever worked that well. I like that it's, you know, it's what we love in wrestling. It sounds like pyro and laser and like a lot of pomp and circumstance and drop the bass in a spotlight. I like that part of it. The Music Mafia, I don't know who we would put in there. I mean, those wrestlers, Danelle.
No way,
could he
Jose.
Put like Elias in there? He's
no
a
way,
he's
Jose,
a singer.
Elias.
Yeah.
So we've got a singer and a dancer.
Yeah. Who else?
I don't know. Who goes in the band? Oh,
the Three Man Band.
Then you just get the whole of Three Man Band back.
They're
together.
Back.
Yeah.
Well, see, there you go. No offense, that didn't really work, did it? So, like, that's tough to have a music gimmick.
Well, maybe now's its time. Maybe all they needed was a proper leader.
All he needs
they
is
need
a chance.
To become a four man band. So this next one's from Mike Plowman. it says, "Hello, team. My submission that I hope you don't give up on is a lady wrestler named Penelope Pencher. Her friends just call her Penny. Maybe it's Penelope Pincher." Maybe it's Penny Pincher.
Oh.
She's notorious for cheap pops and stolen victories, always looking for the easy way out while bargaining her way out of trouble. She's quick to offer help to drive other wrestlers from show to show in her vintage VW van, but they have to pay for gas and food. Her entrance music is Madonna's Material Girl. She tries to get whatever snack she can from fans at ringside, often resorting to a coupon given that reads, buy one, get one for me. Her move set will change from opponent to opponent, and she works to use the moves of those who have defeated her foes before. She does this by finding places with public Wi-Fi so she can watch YouTube matches of her upcoming opponents. Still, she has an impact finisher of a kick to the head with a boot, with each boot called the B-O-G-O, and uses the Boston
Bogo.
Crab she calls the kick to the head. Oh, sorry. And uses a Boston Crab she calls the half-off whale.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Her favorite matches to wrestle in are multi-person matches where she can wait for the right moment to seal the deal. Catchphrases include Penny saves and pounds foolish. I come through in a pinch. Have I got a deal for you? Thank you for all the joy you've given this wrestling fan. I'm all in with Wrestle Talk.
Oh, that's cute.
I really like that
one. I can see this.
One.
I can. I'm Penelope Pincher, and have I got a deal for you? I like
I think
it.
She could work.
I want to be her tag team partner, Frugal Fanny.
Yeah, I think she'd sort of fall in line with Frugal Fanny.
That's my new name.
She'd fall in line with like Sasha Banks and be following her around trying to get hold of
because she has money.
Some of those bank statements.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I love it.
I can see that.
Yeah. I love this. Yeah, and it's very on point. It's very relatable. Everyone loves a bargain. That could be another catchphrase ever, you know?
Hey, everybody loves a bargain.
Or I'll save it for Fanny. Which does not mean the same thing over here that it does in the States. So maybe she's frugal Francesca.
Frugal Fanny.
Franny.
Yeah.
Frugal Franny.
Your Fanny's your ass in America, is it? Or is it?
Yeah. We don't use it very fanny. Much. We don't use it very much. Yeah, like
we use fanny.
Well, like a fanny pack.
We use fanny a lot,
but that doesn't make sense. Yeah, I've heard. But fanny pack, like, it doesn't make sense. It's not nowhere near your bum. It's like you're, it's just hanging out.
You wear it on the front.
Mm-hmm. But you know, which just might be why it's called the fanny pack.
They were called bum bags over here.
Yeah, so. Which is weird because no one wears it on their bum.
I think they used to.
Oh, maybe wrestlers came along and they were like, "Brother, check this out."
Yeah, you're gonna wear it on the front.
Yeah, sounds like something like.
Do you want to buy an 8x10?
Yeah, yeah. That's Virgil. Mm. Virgil came up with that phrase then.
So this last one is from Marcel Jury. He says, it starts quite dramatically. Steam, colourful blinking lights, some weird engines are heavily working. Everything we see is recorded to have a camcorder-like look. From out of the frame, a small Japanese person who looks like he is in Asian cosplay of Albert Einstein jumps into the picture and yells something that he is very excited about. Sadly, it's Japanese. It takes a moment for the subtitles to follow, but they translate. I did it! I managed to channel the biggest force of the 21st century, the internet, the memes. And now he is alive. I may have given him a body, but the collective minds of the 40% of the world's population who are using the internet helped to create his fighting spirit. Dear world, I give to you, Sir Trollalalalalal.
Who?
Out of a foggy, steaming pod steps a luchador with a smirking troll meme mask. I hope you know the meme. I think most people do.
Troll meme.
Sir Trollalol is the living meme. He exists on both planes, the wrestling world and the virtual reality, which is kayfabe. He is basically a comedy wrestler who does a lot of trolling in the ring and uses the character traits of his opponents against him. For example, he could lure the Beastmaster with dog biscuits. In the end, he'll be defeated for others to get the push they deserve, but not without giving them a hard time, as they have to overcome his tricks and their own weaknesses with their wits, and in the process grow as a competitor. His theme would be Nyan Cat or the Trollalol tune or anything that is viral right now. Maybe Toto Africa, since it's everywhere. His wrestling shorts have words like wow, much skill, very fast, and such moves as a sort of
such moves,
much wow, very, very doge. Printed in Comic Sans on them as his finishing move is the going viral that is a springboard DDT. But since he loses most of the time, he won't use it all that much.
That sounds like a very giving wrestler. He's going to put other guys over.
Yeah.
He's socially relevant because he's all about memes and
the
interwebs.
He's got a heck of an entrance. Is that a one-time deal? Is that like every single time?
I think it has to be every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Would you sign him? What was your favorite of the whole lot?
That's, I don't know. They're so well written, but I kind of like Penelope Pincher.
You're in a pen. I see. I'm torn between Penny Pincher and.
They're all good.
Whatever his name is, Luchador, the Trollalol.
Trollalol. I think if I was booking the Federation, you'd want a guy like that that would put your other guys over. He doesn't need to be, you know, the top guy. He's just the guy they have to get through first. So from a business standpoint, you know, Penny Pincher might be like asking for per diem all the time and stuff if we book her, you know, because she's pinching those pennies.
I'd quite like to see Sir Trollalol made in the crap gimmick roster because they're getting all made in WWE 2K20.
Yeah.
So that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you could definitely design him to look
cool.
But
I'm
going to
leave the choice to you. I think we should definitely one of them deserves to get
only
signed.
One?
You can sign both. I mean, it's your rodeo, Val. You want to sign both of them? You can sign both of them.
I kind of want to play as Penny Pincher, but I think you should definitely sign Trollalol.
Okay, so we're going to sign Sir Trollalol.
He's signed, yes. We can do a contract signing that's going to go horribly wrong.
Yeah, and I'll put you through this table.
Yeah, that's how it would go.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now on to the mailbag part of the show.
Mailbag! You've got mail.
Get any super chats in that you want answered later on, because after we do the mailbag, we will be going through super chats.
Yeah.
So we've had some lovely correspondence in, which I haven't read ahead of time, so God knows what's written in there.
It could be from anyone. My mom.
This is from Callum. He says, hey, Russell Talk team. I've been thinking about the dream matches we could have at Survivor Series, such as Seth Rollins versus Adam Cole, baby. Mm. Had that one. Did we have that one already? No, there was a suggestion of that one.
Yeah.
We did have
what
it.
What a match.
Yeah, we did have it.
Seth
yeah.
Rollins, Adam Cole was on Raw.
Yeah, that was on Raw. I think my brain is fried this week.
I would like to ask
you guys, what dream match do you want to see at Survivor Series? Thank you, WrestleTalk team, for helping my life out with podcasts.
That's really nice.
So there's some really good matches already. So Survivor Series this year is Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT. So there is a lot of
versus
fun to be had. Mm-hmm. I would really just like the mid-card match. I'd love to see AJ Shinsuke and Roderick Strong just have a match. I don't know if there's like sort of.
Do you want one from each? That's the whole Survivor.
Well, you could take two.
Yep, but I think three way is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roderick versus Shinsuke. Hey, you heard it here first. There's a Russell Talk exclusive. No,
you, Sanjay,
and Jay Lethal. That's old news by now. That would be amazing. Roderick versus Shinsuke versus AJ. Oh my gosh, imagine the technicality of that match. See, I was going to go Blackman Jerry Lynn, but I forget that it's 2000.
You keep forgetting the year.
He said dream match.
Someone with Jeff.
Jeff Hardy versus. Triple H versus Edge.
Ooh. Jeff Hardy, Ricochet.
But from all different
Buddy
eras.
Murphy. Like, yeah. I want people across like...
I want Denim and Leather Triple H to fight...
Denim and Denim Undertaker.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always Denim and Leather. Denim and Denim. Versus Jeff Hardy like around like 2001. Classic Jeff Hardy. And then like maybe Brood Edge. It's not gonna happen.
Retro Brood.
Maybe we'll just win the lottery and we'll just make them dance for us like monkeys. And like, you're gonna be this, and you're gonna put those old trunks on, and this
yeah,
is what you
we
have
can,
to do.
We can try and work our way up to become the Saudi prince.
Yeah,
and we can
dance monkeys
shows and
dance
do whatever we want.
Yeah, but no women. Careful.
Wait, some women now. Some,
if you wear
carefully
a t-shirt,
vetted women. Val.
Carefully t-shirted women. What on earth was that? Anyway.
On with the show. Craig Thomas.
What the hell?
Hello, guys. New Pledgehammer here. Been following the channel for years and love all the content you guys put out. When I was 15, I met The Rock in person and asked him to sign my shirt for me. I was so excited to show all my friends the next day when we got home from school and couldn't find the shirt anywhere. Turns out my mother washed it and the signature washed away.
I hope he ran away.
I was devastated. Has anything like this ever happened to you?
I hope he ran away from home and is just
yeah.
still mad. He sounds already mad about it.
He sounds pissed. I've never got anything signed, I don't think.
Oh, you haven't? Me
either. I don't think I've ever... You definitely...
I've never stood outside in the rain waiting for autographs when I was 14.
Who?
Well, now we're talking about it. Have I not told you this story?
No, go on.
Oh, my God. Okay, so we're talking about Jeff Hardy in this episode. Okay, so... I loved all of them, right? And I had a little autograph book, and all the wrestlers were coming in from the TD Waterhouse in Orlando, Florida. Now it's the Amway Center. And I got Spike Dudley's autograph. You can have it for a very fair price if you're interested.
Oh, I am interested.
Okay. I got a bunch
gone
of those autographs.
You've gone for a Dudley boys kind of
look. I did. Okay. Glasses today. So then, myself and this other girl.
There's no lenses in that.
They don't know that. That's why I keep doing this. No. So myself and this other girl, she was about 14 as well. We loved... I mean, hello, we love Jeff Hardy. So Jeff Hardy's walking. Oh, my God. And Matt Hardy signed it. And Jericho walked in. And he had, like, everyone else was kind of, like, dressed more like a civ, like a real person. I was like, this is crap. Even some of the girls, Stacy Keibler, were wearing, like, workout gear. I was like, that's the diva I've been looking up to. What the hell? So this is why I dress the way
she
I do, by the way.
She got to wear her comforts.
It's terrible. This is why the dress code should have been enforced. No offense, but I was really, honestly, I was just, I love clothes. I love the girls being girly. She did not look like the Stacy Keibler that I knew. Jericho, however. Oh, no, not Mr. Jericho. I've told him this story, too. He came in. It's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe 1 o'clock. Bright cherry red patent leather pants, sparkly belt, sparkly button-up shirt, undone, blowing in the wind with his hair blowing in the wind. Just walking with the suitcases like this. Like a damn star.
He's a rock star.
I know, but like you won't catch him not looking like a rock star, which is the coolest thing. So... Fast forward.
It's because he's Le Champion.
He's Le Champion, a little bit of bubble. So Jeff Hardy comes in, and we're like, oh, dear God. And he said, so it's starting to rain a little bit. So he sees us with the autographs, and he says to all the fans waiting, and he goes, hey, I'll be right back. I'll be right back. You know, give me a couple minutes. We're like, okay. And then starts to rain a little more. No Jeff Hardy. Starts to rain. Hour and a half, 2 hours goes by. Nothing.
Right back, Jeff.
Never came back out.
Did he not?
No.
Oh,
Fast forward about 12 years later, we're having drinks at the hotel, and I said, dude, I got to tell you something. And I told him the whole story. And I was like, I went. It was starting to rain. I waited in the rain. He was like, in his accent, oh, my God, I feel so bad. I'm never going to do that again. And I was like, dude, you broke so many hearts that day. So I didn't want to make him feel bad. He felt really devastated because he's a nice dude. But it just shows that, like...
Did you pour your drink on him? Just be like, this is what it was like!
The rain felt like this. So I told him, honestly, he's the nicest guy. He was legit, like, I feel really bad. I was like, well, don't. I said, but I'm telling you, I tell people these stories because it's like, you never know when you're going to see someone that, like, oh, can I have a picture? And what if you're having a bad day or whatever? No, you go, you sign... Yeah. At least you're nice. But he was nice about it. He just never came
back. You never
back.
Know when 12 years later, they track you down at the place you work to come and tell you.
Yeah. I mean, I was legally contracted to be there too, yeah, but even if
yeah.
I wasn't,
yeah, whatever.
That restraining order didn't go into effect until the next year.
We know that this was your master plan to get your comeuppance.
Isn't that so funny? Yeah. And I was like, yeah. So that did happen to me, but I do have a lot of cinders on t-shirts. I've never washed the t-shirts. I have a giant cardboard cutout of Kurt Angle that was too scary when it was standing up, so I cut him, and now he's kind of a floating torso. But it still says, to my sweetheart Val, love Kurt Angle.
Aww.
And I'll keep it forever because I love him.
Here's one from the guy that wants to deport. He says, is the only reason The Fiend is the top guy on SmackDown is because Brock Lesnar doesn't want to work Fridays. That is highly likely.
He doesn't work at Fridays, does he?
He doesn't want to work any day.
At Fridays? On
Fridays. At TGI Fridays.
Oh my God, I thought he worked at Fridays.
Imagine
now.
Brock Lesnar with little bits of...
Hello! Are these your mozzarella sticks? No, he doesn't want to work on... How does this guy know he doesn't want to work on Fridays?
No, because Brock Lesnar's gone to Raw now. He quit SmackDown, gone to Raw.
Oh.
So chances are he doesn't want to work Fridays. He likes his weekends, Brock. And
what do you think Brock Lesnar does on a weekend?
Not a lot.
Barbecues? Like, I can't picture him doing anything normal.
I think he eats a lot of protein, so barbecue could be on the list.
Yeah, I think he, like, throws people around for fun.
Yeah, like, maybe.
I just have a little bit of an issue when people are like, oh, so-and-so doesn't want to work this day, or you don't know what's going on, bro. Maybe Friday's a local holiday and wherever he's from. Look at me defending Brock Lesnar, getting mad about
it. The man who didn't show up for most of last year.
Yeah. Well, he was busy. Three kids.
Much to the detriment of the company.
Yeah.
Joe Maddalena says, what's up, WrestleTalk? Just wanted to join in the conversation. For the AEW show, my 10-year-old son loved Kenny's entrance, and he doesn't even like wrestling. Sans has just been named the new character for Super Smash Bros., so he is everywhere in gaming media ATM. Maybe it's a bit more known to you then than you originally thought. Fun fact, Undertale was number one on Kenny's top 10 games for 2018. Also, can you please ask Ollie why a man's moustache looks so attractive to other men? Raised eyebrow emoji. Personally, facial hair is a major turnoff for me. I just don't get it. So this is all about Kenny Omega Halloween entrance. This is definitely like a Pete thing. This is
Do you want
to
get in
question.
Here? I mean, what? Wow.
The Undertale entrance.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah. I think Ollie didn't get it.
Yeah, because he doesn't know what Undertale is.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
Undertale's one of my favorite games of all time. I was popping out my chair. I was marking out.
There you go. So some people did mark out, including...
Chopper yourself. Whopper Pete.
Why?
He just called you.
I guess we can't ask Ollie because Ollie's in Amsterdam seeing all sorts of...
Let's speak for him.
Seeing all sorts of body hair.
He's such a Brock Lesnar. He's off on the weekend just
I
having
know.
Fun.
He doesn't want to work Friday.
Yeah, anymore. Ollie's so... Just start
Screw
calling him Brock.
That guy.
Hey, Lesnar.
People already do call him the Brock Lesnar of WrestleTalk. So
really?
There we go. Why are men's moustaches so attractive to other men? I think because it
to
is such
men.
A brave and bold choice. That's why.
Okay.
I think I respect the cojones of someone who wants to shave in a moustache because I wouldn't shave my beard.
So that he's saying that mustaches are attractive, or when you don't have a mustache, is attractive.
No, so Joe is saying that I'm guessing Joe's a woman.
I thought it was a dude. That's why I thought that was so funny that he's like men like men's mustaches.
No, I think maybe this is me reading this wrong, but I'm assuming that Joe's a woman saying she doesn't find it attractive. And that's why you would ask why men find it so attractive.
It's like the Orlando Bloom theory. Like Orlando Bloom is only hot as a pirate. Every other film wouldn't touch him. Pirate, yeah. Sup? Mother, may I? But yeah. Got weird. I meant
that's
that
got,
a lot.
That's good. We're moving
meant
on.
That a lot.
We're moving on. Rhys Degnan says... Hello, fellow servants of King Chopper Whopper Pete.
Chopper Whopper!
You've popped Chopper in the background. You've poppered the Chopper in the background. With the announcement this week of two War Games matches and that NXT will be involved in Survivor Series, has WWE accidentally found the perfect way to protect the NXT champions whilst having them lose to the main roster champions, since they are all scheduled for War Games matches the night before and so will not be as fresh as their opponents in kayfabe either, making them the easy target for the pin, or just amazing if they win, I'd assume, maybe Shayna. Just want to get your thoughts. Kind regards, Rhys Degnan. I think so. I think that's definitely like a, it's definitely a possibility that it'll play up the War Games the night before. Because that, like, War Games is also take NXT's most vicious pay-per-view. It's like their, it's their Hell in a Cell, or their Extreme Rules combined, I guess. So, yeah, they're all going to turn up battered and bruised at Survivor Series. I don't think they'll play up, literally have them taped up and stuff on Survivor Series unless they, like, medically need to.
Right.
But I think they can definitely use that as a means on commentary to put them over. I think Survivor Series this year is clearly about giving some shine to NXT. So I think there will be some big upset victory from NXT, because you want to push people to go watch NXT on USA, because that's still losing out to AEW. Much closer this week, but it's still losing out.
Is it?
Yeah, so they closed the gap. It was like, what was it, eight? Did you have it in your news today, Chopper? Did you have the AEW, the ratings in your news today?
Yeah.
It was like
822,000 for AEW and 813,000.
That's
for
it.
So that's very close.
Yeah, wow. So it's a very close difference. And so WWE is going to want to push as hard as they can to get people to watch NXT. That's why AJ was there this week, you know. So that definitely could be a very good way for them to be on the show. It not affect the main roster stuff, because Survivor Series really is a main roster It's a pay-per-view about the Raw and SmackDown rivalry.
Two things.
Really.
Three things, actually. First of all, I love when they say fresh wrestler. Oh, it's just out of the package. A fresh new wrestler.
A little freshler.
Yeah, a little freshler. Secondly, don't you think that's why they brought Finn Balor back into NXT?
Yeah, that's definitely another reason as well. Like, you know, he was clearly wasted on the Raw and SmackDown. So they were just like, we'll bring him back to NXT. We'll get a bit of that. Like, he's got at least enough sort of kudos on the main roster.
I think
so
too.
To come back and hopefully bring new people with him.
Yeah.
But that's what they're going to be doing the whole time with NXT. Rob Siri asks, hi Ollie and the team. First off, I just became a Patreon and I wanted to say a massive thanks for all the hard work you guys do. Thank you. I firmly embedded Wrestle Talk in my daily videos just because I love all the insight. Question me do. At this point, what would it take to get Vince McMahon to step down from the head of WWE? Is he a lifer, or would bad ratings force him to be accountable to shareholders? Thanks for all the great vids, Rob.
That's
XFL?
I've been to an XFL game, thank you. Never an NFL, only to an XFL game. Ooh. And I know what the hell is going on.
Well, so XFL's the big project that's starting. Is that 2021? 2020 that's starting. So, like,
he's a busy boy.
There was the talk of that dividing his attention, but also that was partly why you would imagine Heyman and Bischoff were originally brought in to WWE, was to take some of that burden off Vince, and maybe he could start trusting somebody else to do the shows.
It hasn't gone so well.
Not necessarily happened. But then also now Triple H has put on that SmackDown show while everyone was stuck in Saudi Arabia. So there's definitely, and that was one of the most well-received SmackDowns, probably the most well-received since the starting on Fox, but one of the most well-received probably for the whole year as well. So there is that, there is at least proof there for him to go like, well, you can just trust it to this guy.
You can, yeah.
So
I think he's known that for years.
I think he's just, I think it's probably that he just enjoys it.
I think I've been backstage and seen how happy he is. I think he genuinely enjoys it. I think he just loves it, and it's his whole life's work. And, like, why on earth would you, you know, not be there? He wants to be there. Yeah, I think he wants to be there as much as he can and oversee it. I don't see him being as big of a crazy, tyrannical mess that people make him out to be. He always seems like a happy dude. Like,
He's just I think he's probably just, it's one of those things of, like, you don't want to rock the boat too much, do you? They had a lot of success doing what they do, and Vince made all of his money and all of his name off doing it. So in your head, you're like, well,
I don't want to let go.
Yeah.
Because that's when it might all go down the pan.
If you relinquish control of something that you've made, it's kind of like they say, you know, who's going to do it better than you? Even my own aspect of certain things that I do, I want to be able to edit my own videos and edit the photos and make everything the way I want it because I'm a perfectionist. And I think that Vince McMahon is like that for sure. But we just reviewed Le Mans 66, which was amazing. And we were saying there's a scene where, not to spoil anything, where the Henry Ford is the guy at the top and he's been given a folder and they talk about how the folder's probably been through 22 different people's hands before it gets to him. I think that's so true with Vince McMahon and in Impact Wrestling's case with the Dixie Carter or whoever else that was more qualified. I think that it's something to think about that they have to go through a million people before the final decision comes to them and they might not be totally all the way informed. Mm. So, you know, there's a lot to, especially with all the different brands they have nowadays, there's a lot to oversee, which is why, thank goodness, he has Triple H to, you know, be at the helm of NXT especially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Sawyer asks, this is the final mailbag question, then we'll move on to Super Chats, guys.
Mailbag.
So Sawyer says, I love AEW, but there's only one thing so far that's been somewhat nagging me. I can't help but feel like AEW is overusing the hardcore match style gimmicks. No DQ matches, street fights, and even the unsanctioned match. Don't get me wrong, these have all been pretty awesome so far, but they've been used so frequently in the company's brief lifespan just on TV alone. Granted, AEW have done a decent job of telling the story justifications for these matches, but I feel there's a risk of making them feel less special, especially the lights out gimmick. What do you guys think? Am I just being an old man?
I don't think so at all, Sawyer. I am totally on your side with that. I think it loses its specialness.
Yep.
And I think it's interesting, and I was very confused by when AEW did press conferences when they were creating AEW, and they kept mentioning and being very adamant that they were going to be very family friendly.
Mm.
Well, that ain't family friendly, y'all. I think, watching that with children. No.
So I would say that the reason they're doing these matches is because as a fledgling company, they're playing into the strengths of the wrestlers, right? Mm. So the wrestlers in these matches are all known hardcore wrestlers. Like you've got Jimmy Havoc.
True.
You've got Joey Janela. You've got Jon Moxley. You want to put them in matches in which they do what they do best.
Mm-hmm.
And also the matches that fans... who, when you're saying Jon Moxley is all elite and that's this really big bit of news, fans are going to immediately imagine seeing Jon Moxley going back to matches with barbed wire baseball
he
bats and all
dude.
Of that kind of
Kentucky.
Stuff. Like, yep. So people want to see that from him. However, I also completely agree on the front of you don't want to overuse these things. You need to be very careful about where you deploy them and make sure that the story justifies it because otherwise you end up in a situation like Hell in a Cell. There was a really good video that Brian Joyce did for us on WrestleTalk. It was one of the weekend videos about the history of Hell in a Cell. And he made the brilliant point of like the booking of the Shawn Michaels Undertaker Hell in a Cell match is that Shawn Michaels is trapped in a cell with a monster. And Shawn Michaels wants to escape. And they end up on the top of the cage because Shawn Michaels thinks that's the only way to get away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they end up. That's how they get up there. And that's how you get all the spots up
match.
There. But the psychology of that makes so much perfect sense. Whereas when you start to do a yearly pay-per-view for Hell in a Cell, the justification just becomes, well, it's that time of year.
There's a cell. Somebody's got to use this thing.
So you want to make sure that we kind of always build those matches to make sense. So like now everyone just climbs the cell for no reason.
Yeah.
Like people just go up the cell because that's what you do in a Hell in a Cell match. And it's not because they're running away or there's any reason
that's
to.
That's so true.
And that same logic needs to apply to these hardcore matches. Why are the guys having hardcore matches? Why are they having DQs? And like Sawyer said, AEW's done a very good job of so far making the story make sense. But mm-hmm. when we start to move those wrestlers outside of their comfort zones, maybe like, because the pairings have been like Janela and Havoc a couple of times, and Moxley and Kenny Omega and things like that. So like these feel like kind of there's like big matches on one side and there's hardcore wrestlers having hardcore matches on the other side. So it's when these hardcore guys move into the wider pool of people and start having these crazy matches that you need to start thinking about why.
That's the question. Why?
It takes even more to sell that in then, because it's not like just like, why would some other guy be like, well, why would I have a hardcore match with Jimmy Havoc?
Yeah.
You're crazy.
Yeah. No, but this is kind of going back to the soap opera aspect of it. Is what got me into it was the storylines. And I thought, well, why is this person mad at the other person? When I didn't want to watch wrestling when I was younger and my sister and her friend were watching it, I remember saying, oh, it's for boys and I don't like it, stupid. But then I got into why things were happening. Mm. Why did they not like that girl, Stephanie McMahon, who is, you know, why is she so bratty? What's she mad about? And why is this person wanting revenge on the other person? It's the why it was happening, not just because it was happening for the sake of happening. But yeah, and I think if you are Jon Moxley, I sort of understand, having seen a few of his things before WWE, that he's sort of scratching that itch. He's trying to make it known, like, listen, I'm Jon Moxley. I'm not Dean Ambrose. This is what I do. This is what I do best. And he wants to do it on this grand scale of AEW. But like you said, you got to make sure it's not going to get watered down, and we want to know why it's happening. And there needs to be a solid reason.
Mm-hmm. Right, well, now it's time for some super chats. Chopper, Pete,
super chat
furnished me a whole laptop.
Speaking of men with facial hair,
I'm now keeping. Let's talk about super chats. Al Terrego says, how come SoCal Val isn't part of SCU?
I get asked this a lot, and I'm so glad that you asked, because I can say it once and for all. I'm what they call geographically undesirable. So I live in a place called England, and I have also not lived in SoCal. I think I lived there, what, like 2 or 3 years collectively? So this stays between us, right?
Spoiler
alert, I'm not really from Southern California.
I found out yesterday your name's not even Val.
I know! So people are just shocked by all of this.
Like, outrageous!
Yeah, so it's just like, it's one of those things that, it does make sense in the sense that I am SoCal Val, but these guys are actually from SoCal, and they're very adamant about that. And, put it in very blunt terms, I ain't flying to wherever they're flying every week for wrestling, no.
That's it.
I'm in England! I'm geographically undesirable, but I love SCU. And I've known Frankie Daniels and Sky since like my first shows ever. Frankie was on my first show ever in 2002. Sky and Daniels were like on all the other ones after that too. Like, these are my old school buddies.
Christopher Daniels is Simon's favorite wrestler.
He's one of the best wrestlers I've ever.
He's amazing.
Yeah, ever.
We saw him at like a random show in Clapham recently.
And I bet he just performed as if it was made.
Yeah, he just did it. Like, it was crazy.
He's crazy. So he's a guy that I know him so, so well. And Samoa Joe's like this too. They're some of the only people that when they come out, I don't feel like it's them. They're so believable in their character. It's frightening. I think it's because they're good actors.
Is Samoa Joe a lovely man? Is he just a lovely
man? I call
him
Joe Bear. That's an exclusive too, and you can't tell anybody. Hey, Joe Bear.
There you go.
I love him.
Mundy says, oh my goodness, look at that good-looking face sitting there. Hello to you also, SoCal Val. Lol, JK, you're gorgeous, Val. Love you all.
Thanks,
and cheers,
man.
Mates. Thanks, Mundy.
Oh, that's so nice.
Trenton Brown, Val is adorable. She brings such positive energy.
I'm drunk. It's fine. It's the wine.
Yeah,
no, I'm kidding.
You're cleaning up on the super chats here, Val.
That's nice. You deleted all the bad stuff,
energy.
I hope.
James Williams says, Val, I love you. Was so happy when I saw you on. It's lovely to have Val in.
That's so nice. Thank you. You know what? I have to say, looking at social media as much as I do, and you know, message boards and Twitter and Instagram, and I always try to engage with everything. So I really do see all the stuff that's said. And honestly, like, I've been so overwhelmed and surprised at how nice all of the comments have been. Like, people are really cool from WrestleTalk. So thank you, all the WrestleTalk fans and ScreenStalker fans, unless they're just trying to butter me up. Yeah, they're lovely.
We'll go back. We'll take that again. Pointing again.
Boom.
James Bryan, clearing up a little question of ours from earlier.
Okay.
Candy flipping is when you are high on both LSD and ecstasy.
James, how would you know? Who have you been hanging out with?
How do you know that,
that
James?
That is filth.
You naughty boy.
That's filth.
Dragstrip Farm.
How does it work?
So where do I get some? Can you get me some?
I'm candy flipping so hard right now, man.
I got off the train this morning at Hackney Wick, and there's a guy outside the station. This is 10 a.m. in the morning.
Uh-oh.
He's like, want some weed?
I was
like,
no!
A bit early for that, my friend.
It's so weird that you say, I swear to goodness, true story. Yesterday, my husband said he got off the train and someone literally showed him a handful of crack.
A handful of crack.
And showed it to him. I was like,
it's different because you normally get like a little, you get a glimpse of crack. And
he said
like
it was a handful.
A handful of crack.
Yeah, he got a great deal. No, I'm kidding. I was just like, and he said like there were cops not that far away. He's like, yeah, he literally just said something to him. He couldn't understand him and showed him a handful of crack.
So I don't know whether it was this, but when I went to Lisbon recently,
Every 5 minutes, I got offered cocaine.
Really?
Like every 5 minutes.
You know what? In the Bahamas, they kept offering my husband weed and other drugs and nothing for me. And I'm like, I don't look like I'm cool. This What's guy. Up with me?
Hipster.
And maybe it's all the bows I wear. They're like, oh, she's gonna, she's a narc. She'll tell on us. Which I totally would because that's not nice and drugs are bad, okay? Yeah.
Do you want some cocaine? Wait, sorry, I should have just checked. You're not cops, right? You guys aren't cops.
You're not cops, right? Yeah.
Dragstrip Farm says, I support WrestleTalk. Will you guys support me back? Love the vids, guys. We support you back.
We support you like a little baby.
Oh, Nate Drop Surname says, Val sounds like the Eminem song Stand There, lol. I'm not sure what point this was about, but...
About Jeff Hardy.
It's
a little bit stalkery.
Oh, that's correct.
Your biggest fan. Val.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, that's a fan. I'm really waiting outside for an autograph, and then I tell him about it later, and I got my heart broken. Yeah, that's a fan.
It's terribly sad.
This is the thing about me. I don't care. I'm a Mizark, and I'm proud of it. We're all Marks. That's why we got into wrestling, brother.
Caleb Maldonado says, what do you think of all the sword/shield leaks, which is a Pokemon reference? Chopper's doing this and going la 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 off screen. I have seen the Pokemon that have been leaked.
How was it?
They were good. They were. I think
they were as good as Wooloo.
Wooloo.
I think they're really cool. And I just looked at them once and thought, I'll try and forget them by the time the game comes out. So I haven't looked up anything else about it, but I'm pretty excited for it because it comes out next week on Friday.
You've experienced a Poke leak before.
I've experienced a Poke leak.
I'm very sorry to hear that.
I'm on tablets now.
Okay, that's good.
And the stitches will come out next week.
Oh, yay!
Oh, it's really good to get over that.
I hate a Poke leak.
Rex Joseph Calmarin just says a super chat, but no message. Thank you very much.
Woo!
Scott Woodford says, SoCal is beautiful and met you on the Jericho cruise.
You did! I loved the Jericho cruise. Oh my gosh. I don't even know what part was my favorite. At the end of it, I was ring announcing in a hot dog costume because it was Halloween. And I literally said, and the wiener is. You know my favorite part of the whole thing? I put the costume on, didn't tell anybody. And I put it on and like I had to kind of come back to the ring like without anyone seeing me. So I don't know why I developed this weird walk in the hot dog costume. So I just saw people like silently watching me try to sneak back to the ring.
Crouching
in this
tiger, hidden wiener.
And it was it popped me so huge. And then backstage I go, yeah, I'm a Jericho. You know, I said to Jericho, I told you I'd wear a costume. And he goes, why did you draw a mustache on? You're a hot dog. And I was like, I don't know. Why not? He was like, okay, Val. Like, whatever.
Perfect stuff. Okay, yeah. Val.
I'm like, I'm a Mexican hot dog. I don't know. I had like a big twirly. I'll show you guys a picture. It's great.
So, Val, have you got any exciting events that you're going to coming up?
You know what? I just announced on the interwebs yesterday to all the internet people that I'm going to Dusseldorf, yeah?
Dusseldorf.
Oh, just, you know, no big deal. Just doing a meet and greet and Q&A with Kane and, oh, you know, The Undertaker.
My God.
I know.
That's going to be
you know he's alive?
A non-chatty debate.
Terrified.
The Q&A is like how would you like people to rest?
Oh, my God.
Peace.
Yeah. He doesn't speak much. I was telling you that I've only seen him a few times. I've seen him, obviously, perform and whatever in WrestleManias. But I saw him backstage at a WrestleMania a few years ago, and he was in a golf cart. I thought that was real funny because he's a very large man and just looks strange. I think that was Dallas or San Jose. And, yeah, I've never just had the opportunity to say hello or talk to him. I've heard nothing but great stories from the guys. Kane, I've said hello to. He was very nice. But it'll be interesting because I can't – you know, most of these legendary wrestlers I've either met or I know. And there's a certain rapport that you have with them. But these guys, it's going to be a whole new kit and caboodle.
Mm. Who would – like, who you haven't met, right, would you be most afraid to meet?
Probably The Undertaker.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like, who do you think, but like, say more like a sort of starstruck kind of thing?
Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
I've never met Stone Cold Steve Austin. I've been maybe at a Mania where he was sort of around, but I've never even like been in close vicinity to him ever. The Rock even was around me at a WrestleMania party, but I didn't say hello. But, and I just think The Rock's more approachable, so it would be cool. It'd be like, wow.
He's very smiley, The Rock.
Yeah, and I think he'd put you at ease. Stone Cold, I think I would be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What am I going to do or say or wear?
Because, like, Stone Cold does a lot of, like, podcasting, a lot of video, like, a lot of TV shows and all that kind of stuff, and comes across as a very nice man.
Yeah.
But he still maintains that sort of air of like, oh no, he's a legit badass.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't want to embarrass myself in front of Stone Cold.
Right. And that's, I think, what the fear
would be.
Because
I just don't think I'd ever live it down. I think I'd have to commit seppuku or something to like make up for it.
Yeah. He just seems like an intimidating guy. I don't think he's I've heard he's very nice, and all the guys always say he's nice. But I'd love to get to know him and actually see him, like, smile and stuff. I'll say the same thing with Triple H. I've met Triple H. I don't think I've ever seen the man even remotely smile.
Yeah.
Ever.
Mm.
He looks very...
He's always his character.
Stoic, and like, he just looks... angry.
What do you think? What do you think the ideal circumstances? What do you think would make Stone Cold smile? I think.
Like, I think it would just be an amount of time. I think if I was around him and had to talk to him for about 10 minutes, yeah, that I'd say something stupid and he'd be like, "Oh."
I think I would take Stone Cold out at the Broken Skull Ranch on horseback, and we'd ride into the sunset and we'd share an IPA as we watch the sun go down, and that would just bring maybe not even a tear, like maybe not even a smile. Sorry, like just like that singular. Little droplet of happiness that forms
AF.
In the corner of your eye.
AF.
It's not even romantic. Yeah. It's just like bro back mountain. It's just,
it is. That to me sounds terrifying because nice it sounds quiet and like serious. I would need it to be like we're at a bar or like he's, you know, something funny has happened around us. Like I couldn't have it be like just us and it's quiet and we're on a horseback ride.
I wouldn't say anything to him. I think I would just
gaze upon him.
Sort of share the magic of the moment, not even looking at
him. Have you met him?
No.
Or seen him? No. I've seen him at shows. I actually.
I'm alive. I'm alive, Val. I've clearly not met Stone Cold. I die of palpitations.
Yeah,
if I met Stone Cold.
He's just too much. Like he's to me kind of like the ultimate. But at one show when I was about, I don't know, 13 or 14, you know, he does the beer and he takes a swig of it and he throws it in the crowd. I have one of his beer cans. I took it home with me. Yeah, it's still under my bed.
Now everyone can just get his beer cans. He's just giving them out for free.
I know.
Well,
it was
you could pay
Budweiser.
For he makes it as like a regular beer.
But no, he drank out of this one. He's got.
I got
Stone Cold saliva.
Stone Cold.
It sounds
saliva.
A lot weirder when I say it out loud and that it's under my bed. It really is at my mom's house. I still have it. I have a whole box of wrestling memorabilia. There's that. There's Tori Wilson posters. There's the little tiny wrestling buddy action figures that were really short and chubby.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm still grossed out about you keeping Stone Cold alive.
I'm keeping it forever.
On that really horrible gross note, that is all we got time for. Thank you so much for listening.
I'm going to close it.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.